Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Generally, you think what you hear on the radio is terrible.
Hello, all you beautiful people. I'm Jared, and I'm the host with the most of That Random Podcast. Have you ever wondered what nurses do when they aren't saving lives? Or what DJs do when they aren't spinning decks? Each week, me and a guest, and along with you, the listener, will dissect and look deep into these types of topics. It's heartfelt, funny, and filled with OMG moments. But I won't tell you any. You'll have to come and listen for yourself.
Buckle in, and let's get into it.
This week, I am joined by the amazing, incomparable, fantastic, but lifelong friend, Sarah Luck. How are you, Sarah?
Not too bad, thanks, Jared. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm so excited. This is the first time I've ever recorded a podcast.
Yeah, I'm scared.
Yeah, you've never done anything like this, have you?
No, never.
Never, never been on a podcast, never been in a house. Never done anything.
No.
So this week, topic, motherhood, because you yourself
are a mother.
are a mother, and let's get into it. What is your backstory? Who you are?
Well, I'm Sarah Luck.
How the bloody hell are you?
And so motherhood, it's amazing. You hate it and love it at the same time.
Honestly, I have no experience. Yeah, Can't say it's even on my radar of things.
You don't want to. No. it's been actually amazing. It's been an absolute roller coaster. Yeah, so I basically just talk about how I found out. And that was actually because I just had this inkling. And I'll say that it was an awful inkling because I did not want to be pregnant at the time. And
I feel like most people would.
Yeah, especially at like the age of, I was 19 when I fell pregnant. So yeah. That's scary.
Yeah.
I was with you.
You were with me.
Yeah.
And I had come home for a visit.
Yeah.
And picked you up from your house. And I think it was like one of the first things you said to me. You were like, we need to get a pregnancy test right now. And I was like, okay, shit, righto, let's do it.
Yeah, so how have you been, Sarah?
Oh, honestly, yeah.
And how's your life? Yeah, so that actually came back negative because I think at the time I was probably about 2 weeks pregnant. So
I remember we drove around town as well.
Yeah.
We went to the service station. They didn't have any. No, we went to the supermarket first.
Yeah.
They didn't have any. Me being the amazing friend, I went and looked because you were like, I can't. But honestly, wouldn't you have loved to be the cashier? And like, if you had gone in, people would have been like, oh yeah, it makes sense. But like me, if I went in and like, hey, pregnancy test, I want to buy this. They're like, for who?
For who?
Like, honestly.
Oh God. Yeah. So that came back negative. And I think I did it in a public toilet.
You did. Yeah. We went and pulled up into just a park and you ran into the toilets and you brought it back, which was gross. You did. You brought the stick into my car.
Yeah. Anyways, and then about a week later, I did another one because I still had that inkling. And that obviously come back positive. And I rang up my mum and I was crying. And she was like, oh, I'm so excited. It's so good. And then I rang up Jed and I was like, so I'm pregnant. And I was expecting him to be like, oh my God, what are we going to do? Like, that's so awful. We've only been together, mind you, for like 4 months or something ridiculous like that. And he was like, happy tears. Like, yes, that's the best news ever. And
yeah,
I was like,
that's great.
Is it?
I don't know.
that was really good, I suppose, that he was so happy about it. Because if he was sad, I'd be like, well,
fuck, we're kind of stuck with it.
Yeah.
Like, not much we can do about
it. Not much we can do.
So taking back to like when the positive came up on the pregnancy, the first thing that went through your head?
I was definitely just like, I didn't want to have a baby at all. Like at that time, I was like, nah, too young, too early. It's just not meant to be. So yeah, I definitely considered a termination.
Yeah. which, for anyone listening, is a very valid option.
Absolutely.
Don't let anyone tell you it's not.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm obviously glad I didn't now, but that was something that ran through my head.
Yeah. I feel like it's also, like, at that young of an age as well, just to even consider that as an option is, like, not only, like, kind of, like, life-changing because you're considering, like, taking away your own child, but it's also, like, a very mature thing that you have to think about.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, it's a valid thing to think about. It's just, like, well, what other option do you have? I, like, obviously, could have been a bit more safer about it. Coulda, shoulda, woulda. Yeah, it didn't. But, yeah, it's definitely something, like, I suppose majority of people would be lying if they said they hadn't had that thought cross into their mind.
Yeah. I can't remember what movie it is, but there's a movie where I think it might have been My Sister's Keeper. Terrible, sad movie. But in the start of it, the girl was like, every baby, it's like a horrible thing to say, but every baby is an accident. Whether you're planning for it or not, you can't guarantee that when you have sex, you're going to be pregnant the next time. It's always an accident.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I feel like that's just like something that life throws at you.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a medicine ball to the head.
Medicine ball to the head and then picked up again and threw again at you.
Oh, God. Yeah, so that was that.
Yeah. So what was like the so you found out you were pregnant, you've told everyone, where do you go from there?
So basically you have to wait. Well, you don't have to, but it's wise to wait the 12 weeks before
telling everyone.
You actually tell everyone.
Yeah.
So yeah, we sort of just waited it out. Obviously told my mom, my dad, Jed told his parents. And yeah, the reactions were really like different.
Yeah.
So
was anyone like, oh my God, what are you doing?
Not really. I think everyone was really supportive because like after that initial shock of like, oh my God, I'm pregnant. Like you do start to get like excited once you know that both parties are excited about it.
Yeah.
So I started getting really excited. Jed started getting really excited and then everyone else was just happy to sort of support us, you know?
Yeah.
You know, there was some reactions that were probably less, like you could tell that they were happy that we were happy.
But like standoffish.
But standoff about the whole situation. Because we had only been together for 4 months before I fell pregnant. Like that's unreal. You don't even know someone, like even in the slightest bit at 4 months.
And now you've got this lifelong connection.
Yeah.
That is little Nova.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Mm. I had a question. I can't remember what it was. Anyway, let's move on. Your first ultrasound, is your first one when you can find out or do you have to wait a few more?
So you go in and you like have a blood test and they confirm that you're pregnant because they want to just send...
True. Yeah, if you just walked in being like, hey, I'm pregnant, they're like, oh my God, congrats, I can have an ultrasound.
Yeah. And also, like, until I think it was like 8 weeks, maybe it's 6 weeks, I don't know. Anyways, it was a long time ago.
Isn't it weird that it's like, it's such a weird concept to me that, like, I understand the concept of a baby being in a belly, but I don't understand or can comprehend the idea that it's affecting your blood, that they can tell through your blood.
Yeah. Well, it's your HCG levels, so, like, it's a hormone. And when,
I don't know what that means. Not much of a doctor here. Yeah.
There's a hormone that gets sent out or whatever the hell when you're pregnant. That's how they know. And they can kind of tell what gestation you are, like how far along in the pregnancy you are by that blood test based on the levels that you have in your blood.
Yeah.
That.
I've also like talking to people like that have been pregnant, a lot of them have like been like they recommended a woman to do it. Did you have a male or did you feel indifferent about having a male? Did you want a woman?
No, I felt like I don't know. I was just in Lady Jellygo there wasn't much choice.
That's
just
so true, yeah.
Two men.
Two men in a room. Who knows what's happening?
So it was okay. Like, I didn't feel like I needed to have a woman.
Yeah.
Or I need to have a man. I just felt like, yeah, the doctor that I had, I was really comfortable with, and that was good. So, yeah. But yeah, so the ultrasound, that I think they did it at 8 weeks, and it's basically just nothing. Like, you can only see, like, this tiny little ball. I don't even think I've seen that. I don't know.
Anyways, you see like a leftover alien chicken wing.
It looks like an alien. And, yeah, that was the first scan. So I think probably the best part about that was the heartbeat, like hearing the heartbat. That was a really,
yeah,
like, special moment for Jed and I, because it was just like...
Oh, my God, did he cry?
No. Oh, yeah. He doesn't cry. He's heartless. No.
Yeah, he was like, oh, my God, the heartbeat. Been there. I've heard that. Yeah. No, there's nothing special.
Yeah. No, it was just special and, like, exciting to know that things were okay, because by this point, you know, I found out when I was probably 3 weeks pregnant, but by this point, you start, like, you know, planning where you're going to live, planning, you know, what you're going to get, and being excited about whether it's a boy or a girl, or, you know, all those sorts of things.
Which one did you want the most?
I honestly wanted a boy.
You wanted a boy?
Yeah.
Oh, Nova, you have disappointed. You've disappointed the whole family.
I really want a boy because, like, I'm the eldest in my family, and then I have 3 younger brothers, and I just wish I always had an older brother to stick up for me. And,
yeah,
like, I don't know, I just had, like, this image in my mind of, like, my older brother, like, bashing boys that were mean to me or something.
Yeah, so you're a violent kid. I've got 3 older sisters, and they did that for me. I remember Brooke, the one above me. I won't say who she did it to, but she fully, like, this girl had pinned me against the wall at one time and, like, was yelling at me and stuff. And then the next day, I told Brooke, the next day Brooke went and confronted her and was like, stay the fuck away from my little brother. And, like, this girl, like, walked away from her, and Brooke was like, don't you fucking walk away from me. Come back here right now.
The audacity.
But yeah, so I didn't. And I also had, like, my older cousins at the same school, which were, like, Dylan and Matt, so...
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. I was always a baby. I never had anyone under me.
That's good.
So I never had to stand up for anyone.
Everyone stood up for you, and that's why everyone... you're a prissy bitch now.
Let's be honest. So, did you guys find out what sex you were having?
Well, yeah.
There was some sex happening.
So, we actually did, which was good, because... I just felt like I needed to get organized. I needed to get everything organized. Like, and we were moving around the same time. It was all such a busy time. We were moving, like, from central New South Wales down near Geelong. And, I just felt like I needed to be organized. I'm always overdoing things. So, anyways, ended up getting organized. By the time my baby came, I had nothing.
Yeah. So when is that baby due? Like, you... So you guys obviously would have been like, yeah, we want to know the sex. The moment that doctor said, oh, it's a girl, did you say, get this cunt out of me? Like, I signed up for a boy.
No, I was, like, excited. I was equally as excited. I was.
Yeah.
And then, like, I don't know, it's just like when I first found out I was pregnant, I was sad about it and then got excited. It's the same sort of deal.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I want a boy. But then straight after, and only moments after, I was like, so we're having a girl. Cool. Like,
yeah,
be able to put bows in her hair and stuff like that. So that's good.
Yeah. So did we discuss if we want to talk about Jed's dad?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you've found out you're pregnant. You've ultrasounds and all of that. About to give labor, a couple days off, tragedy strikes.
Yes. So what actually happened was my mother-in-law and father-in-law were in a really awful motorbike accident.
Honestly, freak accident.
Yeah, like literally. So this was on like the 1st of March, and they were riding their motorbikes, and they had 2 other motorbike riders with them. So my mother and father-in-law were on one motorbike, and then... Anyway, so then a car actually come around the corner and struck the first riders, which was my mother and father-in-law, and then it rolled. So my father-in-law died at the scene, and then my mother-in-law was flown to Canberra. So, yeah, so we ended up, like, driving down to Canberra, and while we were at the hospital, I was about 33 weeks pregnant, and... one of the triage nurses or whatever it is said that I should get checked down at the maternity ward.
Because of like stress and
yeah, just stress and all that sort of stuff. And she was just like, and I felt like, you know, a couple of days after the accident, I was like, I feel like I've dropped, like, and that's a really good thing, but I felt like my stomach had gone down really far, and I just felt like my baby was like sitting right there, like ready to come out.
Yeah.
So I actually went down there to get a checkup, and the lady at the Canberra hospital was so rude. She was just like, you know, I see cashiers.
Yeah.
And they've got like this grumpy, awful face on them. And I'm like, you have chosen to be the face of this, you know, place.
Yeah.
Put a smile on. It's not that hard.
People get into moods and whatever. But I feel like if you're in a environment where you are to care for people, your mood can affect.
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially when there's so many vulnerable people. Like you go to a hospital because you're either sick or you know someone who's sick. So there's already like, you know, that extra added stress on you, and then to have someone who's meant to be caring for you be rude, it's really awful.
Yeah.
So yeah, I went down to the maternity ward, and that's where I come across this lady who was quite rude about it. She was like, well, is there anything wrong with you? And I was like, well, not really, but like, I just want to be checked because, you know, and I explained the situation and everything that happened. And she was like, look, we only let people come in if there's something actually wrong with you. And I was like, well, it actually is.
There's a baby in me.
Yeah.
That's what's wrong with me.
That's what's wrong with me. No, so I ended up sitting there, and a nurse came out and said, you can be seen by a doctor, but it will be a long wait. And I ended up just getting really frustrated. I was already moody as shit because I was like 34 weeks pregnant or whatever. And I ended up just going, fuck these guys, I'm leaving. And I didn't get checked, which is kind of my bad, but yeah. Anyway, so then we left Canberra Hospital because Jed and I were like, stuff this, we're sick of being in the hospitals. Let's go back down to our hometown and have a bit of a break. So we went back to Lake Ejeligo, which is about a 3-hour drive from Canberra. And I went to sleep, and I woke up the next morning and I'd gone into early labour. So
we love that.
Yeah.
Nova was like, I'm sick of this place. This drywall in here is so out of date.
So it was really bad because obviously I couldn't drive because my waters broke, and I could have gone into like full labour at any given moment.
And the car was not a choice that was in your head.
Like I couldn't drive. And then Jed, he lost his license, so he couldn't drive, and he'd been drinking the whole night before, so with my dad.
Just Uber it.
So he was stuck. Anyways, I ended up driving into Lake Ejeligo, into the hospital, and Jed's mate, Lizard.
What a name.
Jordan.
What a name.
Jordan Lizard.
Lizard.
So he like drove from Ungerry, which is probably like an hour drive from Lake, Medicine Lake, and took us to Griffith, which is like the closest big hospital from Lake Ejeligo. And then that was the start of giving birth.
I was going to take a break there.
Okay.
Because we're at 20 minutes. We've been at this for 20 minutes.
Shit.
Yeah. Wow.
Right, you can.
We'll come back right after this break.
So, Top thinks you give pretty good advice and great tea.
Life happens wherever you are, whether you make it or not. Understanding others, the other elements, and the other nations will help you become whole.
Welcome back to That Random Podcast. If you have just joined in halfway, don't know why you would, you should listen from the start, otherwise you're going to be very lost. I'm here with Sarah, and we are talking about her pregnancy journey. She has found out she's pregnant, hallelujah, otherwise this story would be very short. She has gone into labour. Take it away, Sarah.
Okay, so I'm in labour, but they actually gave me like an injection to stop my labour.
bastards. Yeah. They said, another 9 months. Another 9 months, you're not ready.
Yeah, so that happened. But I feel like all it did was prolong my awful labour.
I'm not a doctor, so I don't know why. But I honestly wonder, why do they do that?
Oh, because I was early. They were like...
Oh, so true. You were early. Yeah.
Yeah, I was 6 weeks early. So they were like...
Oh, God, imagine it. Look. 6 weeks. Just
don't want you to do that. Yeah. Just yet. So, yeah, they tried to stop it. Didn't work. So then they gave me steroids. So that, like, helps develop the lungs so for the baby or whatever.
You just started bench pressing it.
I started bench pressing, yeah.
Yeah. You got real angry. Your dick grew so short.
I got very bad. Yeah. Yeah. I was really angry. Yeah. So I think I ended up being in, like... I get really confused, like, what labour is. So, my water broke, but I pushed for, like... And that happened, and then I was sort of, like, dilating, which means, like, expanding.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Gross.
Over the few hours. I think it was, like... So, my water broke at 9 a.m., and then I had my, Nova at 3:34 a.m. or something.
Yeah.
So, like, the next day. So...
I also don't know because I've never experienced labour or... Oh, I do know people who've had labour. I've got many sisters, I have many kids. But I would imagine labour would be the moment the doctor comes in and he's like, okay, we're pushing until the baby comes out.
Oh, I'm dumb.
Yeah.
Anyways, so yeah, it took me like... I think I pushed for 2 hours. They were going to do a C-section if things hadn't started happening. But thank goodness.
Question.
Yes.
Did you shit?
No.
Oh my God.
No, I
didn't. How dare you? What's the point of this story?
Yeah.
If the end result isn't you shitting yourself in front of a bunch of room full of strangers, I don't want to know about it.
I don't even think people actually, like, I asked Jed and he said no. But, like...
If he has shit himself?
But apparently the nurses don't make a big fuss about it anyways and they kind of just, like...
Well, can you imagine if they did?
They're like, ugh!
Yeah. They're like, okay, to start pushing. Oh my God, you have shit. How fucking dare you? You've shit on me. Get out. Like.
Anyways, so that was
do you reckon it's like, a secret between them? So, like, you'll shit, but they won't tell you, but they'll turn to the other nurse and be like, this piece of shit has just dropped a piece of shit on me.
They go back into their lunchroom and they're like, oh my God, I had a shitter. They're like, oh, not a shitter.
Anyone for any chocolate logs? And she's like, not right now, Karen, not right now.
Mars bar.
No, thank you, Sheila.
So yeah, I didn't shit myself.
Thank God.
That's the summary of that.
I just, there's in so my head it's funnier if you just shit over everyone. Also, in that moment, it's kind of, like, sickening that the women are just like, I'm pushing a baby out. If I have shit, move the fuck on. we have a job to do. If I shit, ignore it. Just push it under the bed. We'll deal with it later.
Yeah. So, I actually end up having an epidural as well.
That's the needle in your spine, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I would not be able to do it.
Nah. It was actually... Okay. In comparison to childbirth or, like, even having contractions, having that needle was nothing. So, I actually had it twice. They gave it to me. And then the anesthesiist or whatever the hell you say it, he left and went home. And I got up and started walking around.
Did you tell anyone?
Well, he's on call. So, they come in and leave and blah, blah, blah. So, I started walking around, and the nurse was like, so, you're not actually meant to be able to feel your legs. So, how you're walking around, I have no idea. And then she, like, put ice on my legs. I could feel it.
And then you looked down, and you just didn't have legs.
I just didn't have legs.
They cut your legs off. They had taken your legs.
They harvested my legs and gave them to someone.
Oh, my God. Vampire doctors.
No, so, he had to come back and do it again. And that was a little bit
traumatic. Oh, so you got two epidurals.
Yeah, because the first one didn't work. God. Because
did he miss or like?
Yeah, it's a hit and miss. It's really
oh my God,
weird.
That's
yeah.
Terrifying. Because I've heard stories that like it can paralyze you.
Yeah, they're freak stories.
They would go, "Do you want the epidural?" I'd say yes, but don't tell me about it. Just do it while I'm asleep. Like sneak up on me and just do it while I'm asleep.
Doesn't work.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was scary. Anyways, so when I ended up after I gave birth, obviously like because she was early, she came out breathing. Everything was fine. She went on my chest. And then they took her away. That was really frustrating because I just wanted to hold her and be with her.
Yeah.
And my legs were still, like, not working. So
you couldn't get up and chase them?
I couldn't get up and get her. No. But the nurse came in and she had a bit of ice. And she was like, so I'm just going to put this ice on your leg. Let me know when you feel it. And I was like, yep, I feel it. And she's like,
You lied, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
You
fucking lied. She's like, I didn't even put it on your leg, Sarah.
Oh, she caught you.
Yeah.
She said, fuck you. She said, I knew you're that type of girl. Yeah. Fuck you.
So I was like, I just want to get up and see her. So I ended up like getting up. And it felt like you were like one of those, you know those clowns? They got like those toy things and they're like baubles. And
oh, a jack in the box?
No. Anyways, it felt really weird.
It felt weird.
It's just weird.
For them clowns, it felt weird.
So, yeah, and then Jed ended up just like getting a wheelchair and wheeling me to her, and that was. Yeah.
Wow. And then, so did you, you obviously had that moment where like, I don't know, I've seen it in movies, so I. Pray to God it's real, because I think it's so beautiful. But like a moment when like they put you on your chest and your heartbeat sync up.
Yeah.
That's amazing, honestly.
Yeah.
I've already told Alex, when we have kids, I'm doing that. I was like, the third one maybe. You do it with the third one, but I'm doing it. Like.
Yeah, it's really special. I think it's good for the mother's and child's mental health as well. It's something to do with, like there is there's a science behind it, but it's also generally just a special moment.
Yeah.
Having a baby on your chest.
I mean, there's a science behind pregnancy, but it is wild. Like, you literally grow something inside of you just to have it come out. Like, it blows my mind. Anyway, let's move on. You've had little Nova.
Mm-hmm.
Nova Marie. Is that a middle name?
Yeah.
Okay, imagine if I got it wrong. Just Nova Erin. just, it flows better. I thought, I like it. let's jump forward, say, 6 months. Where's your head at with this baby?
So it was actually before 6 months.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So after I had Nova, like I felt like I was on a massive high and I just had things that I had to do. Like, mind you, in the midst of all this, my dad was going through like...
Let's like, talk about that.
Yeah. So he did something that he probably shouldn't have. And he was like in the midst of going to prison.
Yeah.
So he's still in there and he gets out in September, but...
Shout
out to Jason Luck. So Jason. Yeah, so that was like a whole thing. And I feel like that like helped me after I gave birth to Nova because I felt like I had something to do.
Mm.
Like, obviously, besides the fact that I had Nova. I just felt like my mind was
I've got
really
bigger
busy.
Things to do, Nova. I've been waiting for you to be out of me for so long. I've got things to do.
Oh God. No, but I was so occupied. Like I had Nova, I had my dad's stuff going on. Then there was like all the stuff with the motorbike accident and funerals and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So I was really occupied. And oh, I just want to say this actually. I was meant to give birth in Geelong.
Yeah.
Like Geelong Hospital. So we were living down there and I gave birth in Griffiths. So it was obviously all unplanned. Yeah. So we come home back to it's called Lara, it's right near Geelong. That's when everything sort of started hitting me because I feel like I finally had a chance to breathe.
Yeah.
And
I mean, you've gone from being this party going 19?
Yeah.
19-year-old. Sorry about the tea spilling. This is tea spilling right now. you've gone from this 19 party going young lady to pregnant, to about to give labor, to losing your father-in-law, to then giving labor, then your own father going to jail.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot. Even without the pregnancy and the labor, that's a lot in that small amount of time.
Absolutely. It was full on. It was really just like, I felt like I had my shit together. I honestly did. But then, like, you know, one night in the middle of the night, I woke up and I couldn't breathe. And, like, I felt really sick. And my heart was pounding really fast. I was dizzy. I was sweating and like hyperventilating and I couldn't, like I've had panic attacks before, but this was like something different. This was like really full on.
Yeah.
And I woke Jed up and I was like, putting over in the car, we need to go to the hospital. I think I'm going to die. And like, I genuinely thought I was going to die. I was saying things to him on the way, like, you know, make sure you look after Nova. You're going to do this and this and this. Like, I was actually preparing to die.
Holy shit.
So, and then I got to the hospital and, like, I feel like on many levels I was failed. Like, they just were like, oh, it's just stress. But at this point, like, the first time I went there, they did a blood test, I think it was, for my heart just to make sure I wasn't having a heart attack.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's stress. And not once did a mental health team come and see me. So I ended up, like, after that moment, there was so many times and so many different things that I had going on with my body, like buzzing in my feet. Things that are like, you know, really awful headaches and pressure in my head. And there was one time I started taking like this antidepressant that my doctor prescribed me. The side effect was that it had caused buzzing through my whole body.
Jesus.
And like once I stopped taking that, I don't know if it was in my mind or something, that subsided. So there was like all these things. I think I ended up calling the ambulance like 10 times.
Wow.
To come and get me in a space of like 4 months.
Ambulance insurance?
Yes.
Do we have
it? Yes. Absolutely.
Yes. Absolutely.
But like, and you know, I know that people would say like, you know, then you're clogging up the ambulance for people who are actually in need. But at the time, I genuinely felt like I was dying. So I felt like I was one of those critical people,
yeah,
like that really needed an ambulance. And each time, you know, I was just, it was so disheartening because there wasn't a single time that I had a mental health team come and see me.
You honestly would think, you would also hope that labor, then you're having panic attacks. Doctors should be able to put the two together.
Yeah, like, look, they did. They actually did. They were like, you are having really awful panic attacks.
Yeah.
And like they said that to me, but it was really hard for me to fathom like how my body could be reacting in so many different ways. All these things being caused by
could it have
stress.
Been because you were pregnant, obviously hormones are rushing around your body, you're not going to experience the same kind of like emotions and feelings that people that aren't pregnant would feel. Do you think it's like your body, Nova's out of your system, your hormones are back to normal? Do you reckon it's everything that's happened, it's just all the emotions at once, just bam?
Yeah, I feel like that was a massive thing. And I think, you know, I've never had anyone close to me pass away in like a really tragic,
yeah,
accident. And like, I obviously didn't know Tony, which is his name, as much as I would have liked to, but it was still just like a massive shock. And I just felt like after that, I was like, our life can be taken away so quickly.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't even have to be our fault. It's just so scary. And I think I was so scared that I would be taken away from Nova or vice versa or whatever, that I was just panicking about dying, like really panicking.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what, like every time I drove, that was like a trigger for me and I'd start getting all these symptoms.
Honestly, that's a trigger for me now. And I didn't even have a kid.
Yeah.
Like driving down here, I got probably a block away and in my gut, something was like, message Alex and tell him you love him right now. Something's happening. Something's going to happen.
Yeah.
And then I got a bit further out and it left me. So like, I have that now. So like, I fully understand that. Like,
yeah. I feel like probably because you've had someone close to you,
yeah,
in your life tragically
probably,
die,
yeah,
as well. And not that it was in a car accident, but it was just like a really sudden awful,
yeah,
awful death. So I think once that happens, you really just realize how precious we are and,
yeah,
how quickly and easily we can be taken away. And that's scary.
Definitely. It's, yeah, a scary thought, but obviously think about it from time to time and like be grateful for the moments you have. But I think there's times when you also have to put it to the back of your head and just be like, this is the only life I've got. Let's live it up.
But that's really hard to get
past. Oh, it's
past.
So hard. Yeah.
It's really hard. Like the fact that we are going to eventually die and whether or not there's God or all that sort of stuff, who knows? Like it's just the scare, like the scariness of the unknown.
Yeah.
And not knowing what it's like after. You know, my dad used to always say something, and this is probably why I'm so cynical about death. And he was always like, being dead is a lot like before you were born. Like, do you remember before you were born? No.
That's so
like,
true. Whoa,
yeah.
I never thought about it like that.
I know, and I feel like that's probably what's instilled that fear in me about death. I don't remember before I was born. I probably won't remember after I die either.
Whoa, I've never thought about it like that. That is...
Yeah.
Wow. But honestly, that doesn't scare me. Like, that kind of... like a blanket of comfort around me. Because, like, if you don't remember anything from being born, you're not going to remember your death. You're not going to feel pain.
Yeah, but I hate that because,
yeah,
I want to, like, see my family. I want
That's
to...
so true.
I don't,
yeah,
know. It's really hard. Anyways, it's like, you could talk about it for hours because it is such, like, it's probably a taboo subject as well because people don't like thinking or talking about,
yeah,
death.
Definitely.
Because it's scary. It is really scary.
So let's talk about the opposite of death then. Little Nova. New life.
Yeah,
new life.
New life.
New life. Nova.
Oh my God. So, yeah, she's beautiful.
Little
she's
chunky
so good.
Baby.
Yeah, she's such a chubby bubba. And it's funny because she was so obviously premature. She was really little. And then I was taking her to the hospital. So in the time that I was going to the hospital, I was also taking her because I was afraid that something was happening to,
yeah,
her. So they end up finding like a small hole in the bottom of her heart, which was like not really affecting. it didn't affect her in any way.
But it's good to know it's there.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but they were also worried that that's why she'd blown out, because she got so big so quickly.
Maybe you're just a good cook.
I would force feed her because I wanted her to make sure she made her weight each week. And they ended up doing blood tests and all that sort of stuff. I went and seen a pediatrician and he was like, we actually see this a lot with premature babies. Their mums kind of like force feed them.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, and like make them get fatter so that, because, you know, it's like, that's what I had to wait until I got out of hospital for. I had to make sure she was like at a good weight.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to see her go back. So I was like, you know, I made sure I got up every single 3 hours to feed her.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's amazing though. Like, commitment. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it was full on.
Mm.
Like, even at the hospital, we had to stay on site.
They had to pin you down because you were trying to feed her.
We had to stay. No, we had to stay on site, and every 3 hours I would literally walk up and feed her. And like, the nurses were like, it's fine, we can do it overnight. But I was so set on getting out of there. And I also felt like, you know, there's this terrible stigma around young mums.
Yeah.
And like, we've got it hard anyways, in the sense that like, people just look down on you, don't think you're going to make it, or don't think you're going to be a good mum, or don't, you know, it's just an awful, awful thing. So I felt like I had to prove that I was like dedicated and committed, and I was getting up every 3 hours, but like obviously a bit earlier because I had to pump breast milk and all that sort of good stuff. Yeah, so I felt like I had to do it for obviously Nova, which was number one, and then number two, myself, because I felt like people would judge me if I didn't. It was really weird.
Yeah, I can definitely see why you would have thought that, because like, just being a mum in, like, in any age, I feel like you're automatically going to be judged.
Oh,
because
absolutely.
People are always like, I know best, I know about this, blah, blah, blah.
Breast
but at the end of
best,
the day,
formula fed's best.
Yeah.
Like, it's all just bullshit.
At the end of the day, it's your baby.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to naturally know what's good for her and what's not.
Yeah. And I'm just so blessed that I actually had a mum who, you know, like, instilled really good qualities in me.
Talking about amazing mums, Trish. Wow.
My mom.
Like,
cool.
Wow.
Yeah, she's a strong woman. Yeah.
Fuck. Like, I can't even, like, to put, like, not physically strong. She wouldn't be able to, like, pick me up and throw me across the room. But,
no.
Like, mentally, that,
oh, yeah.
That woman is beyond.
Yeah, absolutely. She's been through absolute hell.
But that's another story for another time.
Yeah, another story.
speaking of stories, let's tell some stories about Nova. Because I feel like we...
Oh, yeah, that's what I was getting to.
Yeah.
I like to really get off track. I keep on going back and forth. This is going to be really confusing for people. But anyways. So Nova, I'll tell you guys a little story. It's really disgusting.
Oh, my God. Is this one you told me last night?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I love this story. Tell it.
So... Oh, it's gonna make me seem like a bad mum now, but
yeah, you were just talking about how great of a mum you were, and now you're like,
No, like, I'm not actually, like, I don't neglect my baby. That's for sure. She's fed and all, like, the basic necessities, but I can't say that I am the best mum.
Yeah.
Like, there's definitely things that you can always, like, improve on.
Yeah.
Being more attentive is my big one.
Tell the story.
Yeah.
The story.
All right. So, one day, I left a pooey nappy in Nova's room after I changed her ass.
Don't we all just leave pooey nappies around?
And I was sitting at the table and Jed was sitting on the ground and Nova was crawling around. She crawled into her room and I've seen her do that. And I was on the computer. I was like, oh, she's fine. Like, she'll just probably be playing with the toys in there or something. The shitty nappy did cross my mind, but I thought surely not. Anyway, she's only in there for like a few moments. She came crawling back out and she crawled up to Jed and she was like, and Jed was like, oh, I think she's gotten into some chocolate there.
But no.
And I was like,
you're like, yeah, chocolate.
That's not chocolate. And she'd gone up, wiped it on his hand and had it all over her mouth.
Oh my God.
All over her own hands. It was disgusting. Like, Jed and I were fighting about who was going to grab her to put her in the bath.
I would just use a broom. Just sweep her to the bath.
Put her outside.
Put some like lollies on the ground. Just lead her to the bath.
Oh, it was disgusting. It was so yuck.
Imagine her intestines being like, okay, we've got some food coming. Wait a fucking second.
We just
fucking had that in here. What the fuck is it doing back here?
So that was yuck. That's probably like the yuckiest thing she's ever done. She's also eaten dead flies and... You know, all that fun stuff.
I used to eat dog biscuits as a kid.
Fuck, I know so many kids that did that.
I don't know what it was. I don't know. Maybe because I'm a dog. But my nephew, Flynn, at his first birthday party, no one could find him. And then my dad found him under the table eating dog shit. So, like, obviously, kids are going to eat whatever the fuck they want. And, like, you can't really stop them sometimes. Like, yeah. If you want to eat the dog shit, let him eat the dog shit.
Well, I know my brother, when he was little, he was really quiet. My mum and dad came around and found him eating, like, my dad used to drink VBs. So he'd eaten, like, literally the full VB box. Like,
the cardboard.
So, and he was shitting green for, like, the next week or something like that.
Raiders fan.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, anyways, mum ended up taking him to the doctors, and the doctor was like, he has an iron deficiency. So apparently it's a thing. If kids eat cardboard, they have an iron deficiency. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know what I mean.
It's really weird. Yeah.
Anyways, but that's...
back to Nova.
That's Nova, yep.
Yeah, no, she's just such a beautiful kid. She's so gorgeous. Yeah, she's got a big bucky teeth.
Isn't shy in the least.
No.
I met her last night and did not freak out when she saw me at all. Like,
she's crawling to you and like trying to sit on your lap.
Yeah, we're best friends now.
Yeah, I might have to cut that out of her. She's going to, like, end up jumping into a stranger's car one day or something.
Yeah, they're going to be like, do you want to come for a ride? I'm sure.
She's too relaxed.
Yeah, she's like, oh, okay, cool. I was going to offer to take you for a ride. But that's your story.
Yeah.
That's pregnancy in a nutshell. Yeah. There you go. Well, for you at least.
For me at least. Roller I think, coaster. Like, the one thing that I really want to say, and I want to say it here as well, because it's important, is that, like, you shouldn't stop, you know, just coming back to the mental health thing. Like, don't stop asking questions.
I feel like...
Don't give up. There was so many times where I thought I was dying anyways. You know, I'd go to sleep every night thinking that I was going to die. And, like, there were so many times I could have given up. And obviously, like, thank goodness there were things that made me think not to. And I'm just so glad. I pushed and pushed and pushed. And the end result is that I did end up getting the help I needed just for that moment. And, yeah, it took that persistence from me to, like, get to the place that I needed to be mentally for Nova, for Jed, for everyone. Yeah, it's definitely experience that rocked me and it's changed me for life. Like, I just think it's opened my eyes up to just, like, the effects. Obviously, there was a lot of things that sort of may have pushed it along, but, you know, having mental health issues in my background anyways probably didn't help as well. But, yeah, it can happen to anyone. It doesn't matter. Like, you could be, you know... happy your whole life and never have a mental health issue and then be hit by this terrible, terrible thing. And that's probably when it's worse because you don't know what you're getting into, you know? So it's just probably a good thing that I did have that mental health background.
Yeah.
That I knew and understood that these feelings were...
normal.
Yeah, kind of normal.
Yeah. And that they're valid.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming.
No worries.
Well, I came to you, but thank you for coming on the podcast, honestly. Second episode in.
I've talked absolute nonsense. I'm not even sure that people are going to be able to, like...
follow. I'm not even sure if I can use this audio, honestly.
I don't know.
No. If you enjoy this podcast, please make sure to listen to any previous, future, upcoming episodes. Give us a follow on any social media platform under That Random Podcast. But except on Instagram, it is @_random_podcast because some cunt out there already has that.
Shit.
And if you're listening, I'm fucking coming for you. Thank you so much for listening and I'll see you guys later. Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.